At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
Let's get it. All football, all the time. You're listening to The Best Football Show, hosted by Brian Baldinger.
Welcome in to The Best Football Show with your host right here, Brian Baldinger, at Baldy NFL. You can watch this daily podcast. Just download your free Odyssey app, and from there you can find The Best Football Show, and you can like, subscribe to it, the whole thing. We're growing this little podcast of mine. It's basically just me musing over the news of the day and talking about things that I see on film and things that I hear. And quite frankly, we've got breaking news. I mean, it just happened yesterday, but it's a big trade between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Miami Dolphins. For weeks now, Jalen Ramsey has basically said, I'm not playing for the Dolphins. And the Dolphins were actively been trying to trade him. And they got a deal done, and the trade goes like this. The Pittsburgh Steelers acquire Jalen Ramsey. They acquire Jonnu Smith. And there's a pick swap late in the draft next year, and the Miami Dolphins acquire Minka Fitzpatrick. And there's a lot of irony here. Minka Fitzpatrick was originally drafted by the Miami Dolphins and played a year, and then I believe it was two games into his second year, got traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I remember I was doing the game in San Francisco for national radio, Pittsburgh at San Francisco that year. I was at Levi Stadium. And the very first day that Minka Fitzpatrick came to Pittsburgh, his very first game, he had two takeaways. And he immediately looked like a Steeler, the way that he hit, the way that he played. You think about the great Steeler defensive players, specifically Troy Polamalu. And Minka Fitzpatrick reminded you of some of the great Steeler defensive players. And he loved it. He loved playing for Mike T. He loved being a Steeler. He was the captain. He'd been to the Pro Bowl three times. All these things happened. And he's been a great player. But honestly, he's got one takeaway in the last 2 years. And it's one of the reasons why Pittsburgh was willing to ship him out. I mean, he was a face, number 39. He was a face of this Steelers franchise, for sure. A face, not the face. But, you know, Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt. I mean, some of these guys, like you put your name up there, you go out to Latrobe in the summer, you know, your eyes were on Minka Fitzpatrick. So the Dolphins, who I had said weeks ago, if you recall, but I've also said this on a variety of shows, I said, look, this defense in Miami, looks like it could be pretty good up front. You know, they're going to get, Jalen back and, Bradley Chubb back, and Chop Robinson looks good. And, you know, they draft, defensive tackle Kenneth Grant out of Michigan, all these things. You know, Zach Sealer was a Pro Bowl defensive tackle a year ago. You said, okay, the front looks good. The back end looked terrible to me. It looked absolutely terrible. I mean, they lose Javon Holland, and, you know, here's Jalen Ramsey going. I just thought they needed some help. And so here comes, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick to try to give him some stability in the back end of this defense. I still think it's going to be a weak secondary for the Dolphins unless the front is really, really good, unless Jalen Phillips is back to form and Bradley Chubb. And they just give great heat on the quarterback where the ball's got to come out fast. But Pittsburgh, let's face it, Pittsburgh, their best safety last year was Deshaun Elliott. And the irony is that Deshaun Elliott and Jalen Ramsey were teammates in 2023. They played together. But if you look at the Steelers' defense now, look, we understand T.J. Watt is not signed. Defense looks a whole lot different if T.J.'s in the lineup, not in the lineup. I don't know when this deal is going to get done, but let's just presume that T.J. Watt, gets back into, back in the uniform for the season. You know, you look at their corners now. Joey Porter Jr. going into his third year. Darius Slay, Jalen Ramsey, Beanie Wells, Deshaun Elliott. Like, they've got a chance to be pretty good. I think they, last year, the Steelers were tied for the league lead in takeaways with 33. They had 33 takeaways, and Minka Fitzpatrick had one. So Minka was not forcing the ball out, wasn't forcing fumbles, wasn't taking the ball away. Let's face it, if your safeties aren't taking the ball away, and think about some of the safeties in this business. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson last year had 6 interceptions. The year before, 2 years before that, he had 6 more with the Eagles. He had 12 interceptions in his 2 years in Philly. Xavier McKinney last year, you know, what do you have? 9. You look at the safeties in Detroit. Joseph, I mean, had, what, 10? So you look at some of these safeties, and they're taking it away, and they're giving the ball back. They're robbing the middle of the field. Minka, stop doing that. And so it's one of the reasons why he was traded. Now, in addition, Janu Smith comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so if you look at their tight end room right now in Pittsburgh, you know, you're going to have Freiermuth, all right, who's a big target. I don't think they think he's, you know, elite. He's a big target, all right, and he's very, very happy to be there playing his football at Penn State, being a Pennsylvania kid. But if you look at the tight end room now you have Janu Smith, you've got Freiermuth, and you've got Darnell Washington, the massive, you know, third tackle who I think has a chance to break out. I mean, at least that's what Arthur Smith told me, and Arthur Smith is the king to this trade here because he coached Janu Smith. He coached him in Tennessee, and he coached him in Atlanta. So Janu Smith comes in, and he knows all the terminology of Arthur Smith's offense. And Janu Smith, I've known that kid since he was that man. I've known him since he was at FIU, Florida International. I remember I doing an FIU-FAU game for Fox one Saturday. Florida International, Florida Atlantic. And Janu Smith was basically the star player for FIU. And I got to know him then. I talked to him last year, when he was in Miami. He basically won the Jets game in overtime. Last year caught like basically every pass going down the field in overtime and then the game winner. So I feel like the Steelers won this trade. I feel like the Steelers won this trade. They're going to line up however combination you have. Jalen can play the star position inside. You think about, you know, Slay can play the left corner. Joey Porter can play the right corner. Beanie Wells can be, you know, the fourth corner if they need one. And sometimes you got to play four, but he's their backup slot. Jalen can play outside. You know, if it's a, you know, you think about the matchups, what Jalen was playing for the Rams, and he was going up against DK Metcalf in Seattle. I mean, Jalen just comes alive when he's got a big X receiver. When Nuke was in Arizona, when DK was in Seattle, I mean, Jalen Ramsey came alive. He wanted those guys one-on-one, let him put his big body against their big body and see who comes out to win. So I think the Steelers got a lot better in the secondary. And the fact that Jalen has played with Deshaun Elliott. Deshaun Elliott was the best safety last year. He was the best tackler. He took the ball away. The only issue with Deshaun Elliott has always been, since he came out of Texas and was drafted by the Ravens, was just health. Could he stay healthy? Because he's had a variety of injuries. It's been the only issue. Otherwise, that guy can run, he can tackle, and he's a playmaker. All right. Now, because Miami traded Janu Smith away, They had a big void at tight end. Well, the other trade that happened today was Darren Waller got traded from the Giants to the Dolphins. So you think about this now. Darren Waller, was signed by the Giants, 3 years ago to be like the big missing piece in their offense. Was not much of a factor. Didn't stay healthy. Been, retired, sat out last year. But he was still property of the Giants by contract, of the contract he initially signed. So I think it was a 6th or 7th round pick that the Dolphins got for Darren Waller. So maybe he, found the love of football again. He said he didn't have it when he was in New York. And rather than, like a lot of guys, okay, I don't love the game anymore, retire. Well, sometimes you realize how much you miss the game when you don't have the game. So maybe Darren Waller refound his love. But I'll say this. The Miami Dolphins have been looking for a third receiver for a long time. You know, they've got obviously Tyreek. They've got Jalen Waddle. And be honest with you, Darren Waller has always been a big slot receiver. That's his position. So he can really run. Anybody that's ever watched him live, been around him, watched practice, he is big and he is smooth and he's fast. And, you know, he had two great years with the Raiders. You know, he was drafted by the Ravens and things didn't, you know, he had some issues off the field, got himself cleaned up, you know, found a new life with the Raiders, had some monster years there. So he's got that on his resume. I think he's still fairly young. Maybe he's really hungry after sitting out last year and realizing that making music or doing whatever he was doing, maybe it was just missing football was the biggest part. All right, real quick, I've got this Sack Summit hat and T-shirt on. I just got back from Sack Summit in Las Vegas, where we had 40 or 50 of the best pass rushers or young, you know, just a variety of pass rushers in the league all beat and convene for Von Miller's 9th pass rushing Sack Summit. So I've been a part of it the last 2 years, and it just continues to grow. The sponsors, the players, the legends, we had guys like Justin Houston come back, Robert Mathis come back, Chris Long come back, Sean Merriman coming back to help coach guys like Jalen Walker, you know, the rookie drafted out of Georgia, drafted by the Falcons, was there. And when you watch Jalen Walker work, you're like, good Lord, he looks like a good prospect. But it was really cool. I learned a lot. I do the video for it. So I break down what I did this year was I broke down 8 pass rush moves and then showed guys, whether it's speed to power, whether it's cross chop, long arm, rip club. I mean, I broke down spin. I broke down the top pass rush moves. And then I put like 6 or 8 different guys doing those moves. And then we watched them. And so we had some really cool things. Like, for example, Justin Houston in 2014 had 22 sacks with the Chiefs. And there he is sitting with George Karlaftis with the Chiefs, who what had 10 sacks last year. And those two guys are talking about the lineage of great pass rushers in the Chiefs organization, going back to Buck Buchanan and Bill Moss and Boogie Bell and, you know, Jared Allen and Tamba Ali and Justin Houston and now Chris Jones and, you know, obviously Derek Thomas. And so it's not lost on these guys that they understand the great history of pass rushers in Kansas City. You look at, I walked out of the hotel, the Resorts Hotel, on the morning of the first day, and I'm walking with Von Miller and Nolan Smith Jr. of the Eagles. And Von Miller is looking at Nolan Smith going, like, he looks like my clone. He's about the same size, except he's a lot faster, Baldy. And honestly, Nolan Smith was one of the breakout stars in the league last year. And I think he's going to be a double-digit sack guy as long as he's healthy in this business. You know, he's sitting across during the film session, he's sitting there with Chris Long and Von Miller eating it up. And so we got a lot of young guys in there that are really, you know, studying, learning. The other cool thing was a guy like Milton Williams from the Eagles gets a second contract with the Patriots. And he's there talking to Keon White, going into his third year with the Patriots, talking about what damage they're going to do in New England. But the big thing is two things. One, when Von started this, he really was under attack for giving away trade secrets, talking about things that he does that helps him, sharing his knowledge. And it wasn't well received. In some places, fans, coaches, it still isn't. But I'll say one thing that's cool, and you understand the brotherhood and the fraternity of these position groups and how important that is across the league. Because when Milton Williams got paid, everybody is happy for him in that defensive line room. They're all happy for him. They want to see, you know, next year Nolan Smith get paid by the Eagles, Jalen Carter get paid. They want to see these guys, young guys, get that second contract. Guys, Harold Landry, you know, now went from the Tennessee Titans, where he's got a couple contracts, now going up, you know, with the New England Patriots and following Vrabel up there. We want to see these guys play 10 years and get 2 contracts, 3 contracts, you know, and really build their bag. But in order to do that, they got to build their play bag. You know, they got to build their arsenal. And so we studied a lot of, you know, I went back and showed O.C. Umanara doing the cross chop, Aaron Donald doing the cross chop. You know, we studied some great players – in this business in order to get there. All right, to wrap things up today, we started breaking down divisions, division by division. We started in the NFC East, and then we went team by team in the NFC East. And today we get to the Dallas Cowboys, who had a disappointing 7-10 season last year. It seemed like everybody got hurt. Dak got hurt, you know, in that during the season. DeMarvion Overshown got hurt. Micah Parsons got hurt. But, you know, this is the Cowboys team that went 7-10 and fired the coach, like Mike McCarthy. And you think about the Cowboys, they had just gone 12. They had just won 12 games 3 years in a row, more than any other team in the NFL over a three-year period of time. And during that time, under Dan Quinn, they led the league in takeaways. And that dropped off last year. I think they had 22 last year, but they were 7-10. The injuries caught up to them. Now you got a new coach in Brian Schottenheimer, a new way of doing things. So how quickly can they adapt? And how quickly can they, you know, add George Pickens into the lineup? You know, obviously that was the big offseason trade. And I think it's a good trade. If George, you know, is mature, wants to be there, works. But I think, you know, he's a true X receiver, and they've lacked that since CeeDee Lamb really came to the team. They've lacked that big X receiver. And so he has that ability to win on the outside. CeeDee's their move guy. You know, Jalen Tolbert, they got other guys. Jonathan Mingo, we'll see. They traded for him last year. I haven't seen him do much. You know, but the big part of the draft was drafting Tyler Booker and building this offensive line, building it up strong. They had drafted Cooper Beebe the year before, you know, along with Tyler Guyton. Guyton's got to make a jump this year to go with Tyler Smith. So, you know, they drafted Jaden Blue because I think they've got a hole at running back. And, you know, maybe Javonte Williams bounces back. He's had two very average to subpar years in Denver after the knee injury. Miles Sanders looks like, you know, he has not been a big factor in Carolina. Maybe those guys bounce back. Defensively, you know, they added, we'll see when DeMarvion comes back because he's an elite player with great speed. Micah is out there. I don't know what his status is. I mean, honestly, he wants a contract. Is he a holdout? I don't know. We don't know. Will he be happy? We'll see. Well, all these things are, you know, to play. They picked up, you know, we'll see how the defense comes together. They don't look like anything above the third best team in the division right now. Maybe Brian Schottenheimer's leadership they needed, a younger voice, a guy that has coached a lot of offense in this league, been the offense coordinator in a lot of different spots. The Jets, Seattle, he's bounced around this league. Jacksonville, he's been the play caller in a lot of spots. You know, can he, this offense bounce back? You know, and then defensively, can they shut people down and keep the score down? So they're challenged right now. You know, I'm sure Jerry Jones, you know, winning 12 games for 3 years in a row, they didn't advance past the first round in any of those years. We now know that the last time they've been in an NFC championship game is, what, 1995. I mean, it's been 30 years since they've been in a championship game. So if they get there this year, it'd be a monster season. I don't see it. You know, I think they're better than 7-10, but I think Washington, especially with the play of Jaden Daniels, the Eagles obviously have gotten better. I've just been informed yesterday that week one, I am actually doubling up and I'm doing the opening game of the season, Dallas at Philadelphia on Thursday night. I believe that's what, September 4th or 5th. And then I'm doing a doubleheader that weekend. I'm heading down to Washington and doing the Giants in Washington. I'll do the NFC East week one. But, I mean, that is an unbelievable opening for the Cowboys to go into Philly on the opening game of the season on Thursday night and taking on the world champions. Because while it is never just a one-game season and, you know, things can happen week one, you can bounce back. It will be a litmus test for where the Cowboys are going into Lincoln Financial Field that Thursday night. And, you know, look, if they're competitive and going game goes into the fourth quarter, great. But if it isn't, there's going to be a lot of noise in Dallas that night about the hiring of Brian Schottenheimer. I mean, it could be, I mean, it literally could be under a hot seat if they don't play well and they get blown out in that first game, that this team, you know, isn't built properly, isn't built to compete. And quite honestly, they've got some playmakers now. Obviously, CD is a great player. George Pickens, a guy they have not had. So maybe the passing game will be better. If the offense line is good up front and you give Dak time, he's obviously shown to be a great player at times. He's got to stay healthy. But, boy, that opening game of the season is going to say an awful lot about the direction of this Cowboys team under the new guidance of Brian Schottenheimer. And this has been the Best Football Show. I've been your host, Brian Baldinger. I'll be back here soon talking about breaking news like we've had today. We'll see what happens. Still a lot of guys out there unsigned. Not a bad time to get signed. It's kind of quiet right now, but that quiet can be disrupted pretty quickly with any kind of movement that gets made. We'll be back here soon. Look forward to talking to you. I'm Brian Baldinger for the Best Football Show.